Really bad weather. Might be the longest stretch of rain we have, like all spring, like maybe all summer. It's supposed to pound rain basically through the entire weekend and through most of Monday. Not fun. Not fun for door knocking. Not fun for campaigning. One mayoral candidate that we spoke to a couple weeks ago, and he's back. And on a couple specific issues for sure, but we'll get an overall lay of the land, is former Toronto City Councilor Rob Davis. Rob, it is great to have you back on Toronto Today. Thanks for getting up early for us.
Well, good morning. My pleasure.
You got a good umbrella?
Yes, I do. I have a couple of them.
Okay. And I hope you have a car that isn't a convertible. A hard roof is a good thing when you're driving around looking for votes.
I have a sunroof, so once in a while, I like to feel the rain on my head every once in a while, but not too much. So there you go.
How would you assess your conversations with prospective voters? How would you assess the major issues? Almost from the last time we talked, is anything rising to the forefront? Is anything more prominent than maybe you thought it was?
Yeah, bike lanes. And I think people are concerned about bike lanes, not because of the personal a vendetta against cyclists, because many people who drive are cyclists themselves, but they see it really as the major cause of congestion on a lot of our arterial roads, and they understand that it seems to have affected response times for emergency vehicles. It has sort of bubbled to the top as an issue that, to be frank with you, I didn't realize that how concerned people were about it. And this is the best part about elections. Elections matter. Campaigns matter. So in going door to door and canvassing and talking to people, going to a community meeting about this for the extension of the Bloor Street West bike lanes, I realized how much anger there is at what City Council has done in the build out of these things.
How much data do you get to see about when they get used, when the kilometers of bike lanes get used, where the most use is? I mean, I ask because I wonder if people have their own anecdotal stories about it, but in some cases, couldn't I make the case it eases congestion at certain times? And yet we would never have the same amount of bikes on the road on January 15th because of our weather as we would on July 15th, but the bike lane stays there 12 months a year. So I would understand that level of frustration about it.
Yeah. Well, a former city councilor reminded me that if you want to put a stop sign in at a corner, it has to be measured. There has to be a measurement of traffic conflicts between pedestrians and vehicles before staff will recommend it. If you want to put in a crosswalk, if you want to put in speed bumps, they require measurements and warrants. Guess what doesn't require measurements and warrants? Bike lanes. So they're actually going in without any empirical evidence or any particular standard that is set by traffic engineers who are the professionals at these things. So council is not making the decision, it seems, based on empirical evidence. And anecdotal evidence suggests that people who live really far out from the center of downtown aren't going to be cycling from the eastern parts of Scarborough to downtown Toronto on a bike, albeit there will be some, and there'll be some outliers. And so, but older folks who live in the suburbs, senior citizens who may have mobility problems, their only means of transportation is by car or by TTC. They're not using bike lanes. That is to say, though, like with the TTC, 60% of transit riders are choice riders. They own a car. They choose to ride the TTC. I suspect a lot of cyclists are car owners and a lot of car owners are cyclists. So this isn't about the war on the car. This isn't about the war on cyclists. It's about striking a balance so that we can move as many people as possible to and from work, to and from school, to and from tonight's hockey game.
Right. So, but if I say I'm a 21-year-old TMU student and I have a good bike and I ride 15 minutes to the campus each day from my very, very expensive downtown apartment, I can't afford a car and I don't even want the TTC. My parents gave me a bike for my birthday. All this anecdotal stuff, I lay this at you. What would you tell me about how to get to the campus and back?
Well, it depends on your route. But what I wouldn't do is create congestion for other users of the road. What I would say is arterial roads might not be the best place for you. Like Yonge Street is probably not the best place to throw up a bike lane. Parts of Bloor Street are probably not the best place to throw up a bike lane. You know, these main streets are the old style main streets of of the inner city. There are stores, there are apartments above the stores. Those stores require and need parking spots. They need people to make spontaneous shopping decisions, pull over, stop and get a schnitzel or a falafel or a Jamaican beef patty, or buy a shirt or a suit, what have you. That's part of the way in which retailers operate and survive. And so when we take away some of that parking or all of that parking, we choke the lifeblood. So I've started a petition, nonewbikelanes.com. That's www for the older folks, nonewbikelanes.com.
Yeah.
And people can go on and sign the petition there. It's been gaining lots of speed. We have lawn signs that are going out in support of, putting a moratorium on bike lanes.
Well, don't put the lawn signs in the bike lanes. I'm just saying that's not right.
No, we're going to put them on private lawns. But that's been an issue. The other issue that's really, really important is affordability. People are really concerned about housing affordability. I'm coming out with a plan in a couple of days with respect to that. I think there's a solution to increasing affordability. I think councillors who are running right now have been somewhat disingenuous or hypocritical about their positions. They are the cause of the current chaos that we see in rental housing and in part because, let's be clear, city council doesn't control interest rates, but they're part of the cause of the chaos in housing affordability. And so it's a bit rich that they're running now after supporting all of the policies that cause that chaos.
All right, we definitely have a few minutes, more than a few minutes left, three or four. But you documented on Twitter yesterday you're going to file a complaint to the city clerk about these events. Giorgio Mammoliti was somebody talking about it. Anthony Fury was somebody talking about it. You tried to attend a community meeting. There's a seniors' home that is in Willowdale, and it does look like, for all intents and purposes, there's going to be a safe injection site, in essence, on their green space. It looks like it's across the road, but that's still the area where there's a seniors complex at North York. You tried to go to a meeting, and you were prevented from getting into the meeting. So take us back and tell us what happened.
Yeah, so quite frankly, a meeting was being held in the common area gymnasium of a Toronto Seniors Housing Corporation building. The meeting was slated for 3:00. I arrived at 3 minutes to 3. I was confronted at the front door to the building by a counselor. I was blocked. She kind of gave me a nudge. Again, I'm not calling it an assault, but I'm not a snowflake, and so I'm not afraid. If an 80-year-old city councilor puts her hands on me, it's not going to cause me any harm. But it is inappropriate, and it's inappropriate for three reasons. Number one, this is a meeting of members of the public being held by city councilors to talk about an issue of public concern.
You're physically blocked. This isn't, hey, I'm not sure you should be here, and you go, I disagree, and sit down. You're physically blocked.
Yes, I'm physically blocked. I then reminded the councillor that there's a thing called the Municipal Elections Act, which allows all candidates access to all multi-residential buildings, and that if she continues to block me, that she's the one who's going to be charged with breaking the law. Then she realizes her error, steps out of the way, and calls the city clerk, who confirms that, yes, nobody is allowed to block a candidate from accessing or going door-to-door in a building. She then says, well, door-to-door, and goes on a rant about door-to-door. And I explain that in order to get to the doors, I have to go through the common areas.
Yeah.
I don't have a broom to fly on, contrary to popular belief. And then the other counselor is standing at the gymnasium door blocking me from going. And so I start greeting people as they get off the elevator and go into the meeting. But I want to tell you that that incident is personal to me. And what really bothers me is that these counselors are so concerned about the presence of two or three or four municipal candidates for mayor when we have big issues. We have homelessness as an issue. We have crime on the TTC as an issue. We have congestion. We have affordability, not only housing affordability and rental housing affordability. We have food insecurity. And their number one concern is whether three candidates or four candidates running for mayor of Toronto get to hear residents speak. Like, this is an example, just like, you know, changing the name of Dundas Street. It's an example of misguided priorities, right?
So you can go, I got a minute, you can go because of the Municipal Elections Act. They can stop me from going, but you're a registered candidate, so you get entry based on that.
And they know that we're registered candidates. And so, you know, Paula Fletcher is a, you know, 30-whatever-year veteran, 40-year veteran of politics. She knows, or ought to know, the law. She knows that you're allowed into every building. She's been denied access, and she's probably made the same claims as I have. Councillor Cheng is a newbie councillor, and she may not be as familiar, but she heard, you know, when you watch the video, you can go to robdavis.ca, you can watch the video for yourself. She heard Councillor Fletcher apologize for, you know, for putting her hands on me. She understands the rules. She knows, like, they know, right? So, but this is what is of concern to me.
Yeah.
They're so focused on the personal and who's looking out for the public. And so this is what matters to me. I'm going to put the members of the public first every single day. When they blocked me, they blocked those 200 people from being heard by a potential mayor of the city. That's what matters.
I gotcha.
It's the public that matters. It's not the personal that matters.
Hey, Rob, I got a blast, but let's follow up on all these issues and then some very soon. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Thank you. And sign the petition at nonewbikelanes.com.
Rob Davis, mayoral candidate on Toronto Today.